Welcome to Gapology Radio with your hosts, Mark Tinas and Brian Brockoff, authors of the leadership development books, Gapology, IMBAR, and Speed of Purpose. At Gapology, our purpose is to help leaders achieve their greatest potential. To learn more about our groundbreaking books and training services, visit our website, gapology.org.
Everybody, welcome to Gapology Radio. This week we have a special surprise for you. Coach Cabrina McLean returns to the show to help us out and talk about one of the programs that she's teaching in her coaching business, emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence, or EQ as it's known, is a contrast to IQ in that it focuses on our ability to adapt emotionally to our environment and the people around us. According to my in-depth research, meaning I looked it up on Wikipedia, the term emotional intelligence first appeared in 1964 in a paper by Michael Beldock, but it really gained popularity with the best-selling book by science journalist Daniel Goleman in 1995. Go over to Wikipedia for all those amazing details on the history. But today, Coach Cabrina will share her perspective on all this, and we'll look at how it connects with what we teach with Gapology, IMBAR, and Speed of Purpose, and how it can help drive performance. So let's go ahead and get the show rolling with Coach Cabrina. Coach Cabrina, hello.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm good. Here we are again. I'm excited to do another podcast with you.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me back. This is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm super excited about this. And for our listeners, if you haven't listened to the first episode that we did together, which was way back in May of 2022, I do invite you to go back and listen to that. So it's crazy. It's that long, honestly.
Yes, it's like it was yesterday. I can't believe that. Yes, exactly. Wow.
Yeah. So in that episode, we talked about Coach Cabrina's books. So Coach Cabrina McLean, she's a well-established author and business coach, leadership coach, and she's got an amazing coaching program that she does. But her books are really, they can really be life-changing, I would say. Cabrina in general, I want to say, for those of you who haven't listened to that, she is one of my all-time favorite people on the planet. So Cabrina, I mean, seriously, when we first met, it was in a meeting, and yes, she stood up, and it was like, you know, those old pictures, those old paintings where the God light shines down on somebody who's
Brian.
Speaking. I felt like it was that. I'm like, oh my God, who is this person? I need to know her. I need to meet her. She made a huge impact on that room. I mean, the whole room stopped to listen to her. So, she is just amazing. First of all, I mean, just her heart of gold, 100%. But she really truly seeks to connect with other people and help them, which is similar to our purpose, which I love. The other piece is that she is usually the smartest person in the room. And in addition to that, she makes you smarter. So when I talk to her, I always feel like, oh my gosh, my brain's like growing and I'm learning more. I'm glad that we were able to get you on the podcast. Yes, here.
Yes, yes. Well, iron sharpens iron. I show up in your life because you uplift me, right? You inspire me. So thank you, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. We all make things better, I think, when we're able to connect and work together. So let's dig into this a little bit. Let's talk about your books first, just so our listeners have an idea. So two books, right? So we've got The Face of Adversity, which is really a great collection of her stories of her colleagues and friends and that kind of thing. And I think I think it's a book that our listeners can really get a lot out of. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And then How to Foresee Positive Change in Your Life.
Yes.
Both on Amazon. So go out and buy those today for those who haven't. So your four C's, let's talk about that one first, because that one's a little bit more business type, coaching related. So four C's: compassion, courage, confidence, and celebration. So give us a high level synopsis of those, if you don't mind.
Yes. Just overall, I thought about, there was some commonality between the sessions I was having with my clients and their level of happiness, right? Mm-hmm. And what I learned was the clients that were confident in what they do were terrified, yet courageous and bold and, you know, mm-hmm. pushed through the status quo. Clients who were compassionate at times that they needed to be, and the fourth C, celebrated things unconditionally, were happy. They were positive people. So that was the root of, like, you know, why I thought of this book. And I was like, I have to share it. I have to share it. So the four C's were born.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. The celebration piece, I think that is interesting. You know, when you celebrate other people, it does make you feel good, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. It fills that cup.
It, absolutely. I mean, how often have you heard leaders say, "Oh, I'm so happy we've made the numbers. Let's celebrate," versus, "Man, Brian, you did an awesome job meeting that goal. I just really want to celebrate you." Mm-hmm. That's two different feelings there. So yeah, totally. You're right about that. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in Gapology, we do something that we call standing ovations, right? We encourage that. We encourage leaders to look for opportunities to give a physical standing ovation where they get, you know, people standing. And you really want to make sure you tie it to something that's important, right? Not just everything. Otherwise it kind of absolutely. Just becomes a thing. But, you know, when you do that though, the interesting thing is the smile happens on the recipient's face, but it also happens on everyone's face. It makes everyone feel better. Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
That's great.
Yeah. And then your face of adversity, and thank you for inviting me to share a chapter in that as well. But this is a collection that I found super impactful. It was a collection of people sharing different stories around adversity and how they overcame adversity and that kind of thing. So
absolutely.
Tell us about that. Yeah. How'd that all start?
Yeah. Well, I know different folks from different backgrounds, as you know, mm-hmm. and I was talking to someone one day and they were telling me how they pushed through having cancer. And I was like, I had no idea you had cancer. I had no idea, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of like tying that to the four C's, instead of celebrating myself and how I overcame adversity, because I was just going to write a book, you know, just for me, right?
Right.
I was like, I need to pull in different folks and learn how they overcame adversity because it could help other people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your story is like a very impactful. So thanks for sharing that. We do have a cancer survivor. We have just everyday folks who you just share their story of how they just push through what they thought was just like a wall of unbearable, right? And they, you know, they're here today and they're just cheering about their lives. So I've been told it's a great read. It's very powerful. Some of it is emotional and some of it is light. So I don't want to scare everybody out there, but you know, thank you for mentioning the book. It's very important to me.
Yeah. No, it's actually a really incredible book. The thing I always find is you never know what story or situation or example will connect with another person. Yes. And the nice thing about this book is that there are many different stories in there, people sharing emotional, real things that they faced and how they overcame them. So, you know, if you're facing adversity in your life, our listeners out there, you know, pick this book up. There's something in there for just about everybody. And you never know what element you're going to be able to pull out and connect to your real world out there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Brian.
Sure. Well, let's dive into EQ. So I thought that term was interesting. So it's like IQ, like someone's IQ, intelligence quotient.
Yes.
Let's look at emotional intelligence. So, you know, would you mind kind of just at high level, I don't want you to give away the farm on this whole thing, but, you know, let's think about our listeners. So, you know, Gapology is all about leading teams to action, you know, performance, you know, improving performance and those types of things. So, you know, as we go through, if we can kind of look at it through that lens, I think there's some really good stuff here. This is really interesting. I'm looking at the picture, the actual model here, and it's a cool design. So yeah, what, you know, why don't you walk us through that?
Absolutely. So first, high level, EQI 2.0 is what I'm certified in. And it has 5 composites and 16 elements, 15 of those are subscale. So we're going to go through those on a high level. The difference between EQI and IQ is IQ, you're only going to be so smart, no matter how many books you read, you're going to hit a ceiling. The beautiful thing about EQ is that you can grow, you can stretch yourself. When you create a development plan and execute it, as I tell my clients, you can actually close those gaps. So EQ is very powerful when it comes to achieving goals and driving results. And I'm going to get to it and walk you through it. So with the 5 composites, the first one is self-perception, right? And with self-perception, there are 3 subscales: self-regard, self-actualization, and emotional self-awareness. So just high level about that, just how you see yourself from within, right? Like how you handle yourself when you're under pressure. Do you have confidence? Do you want to learn more? Are you aware of how you feel in the moment? And think about that when it comes to your day in, day out, wanting to perform. That could really impact your performance overall, how you feel about yourself, right? The next one is self-expression. And the self-expression, the subscales are emotional expression, assertiveness, and independence. So imagine you're on a team, right? How do you think the way your body language like shows up, that emotional expression, how assertive you are, right? and how independent you are. Like if you're too independent or if you depend on people too much, how that could really impact the dynamics of the team when, you know, you all need to reach a goal, okay? Mm-hmm. And then moving to the third is interpersonal, the interpersonal composite. And I definitely want your thoughts on this, Brian, because, you know, I'm correlating this with, you know, I'm thinking about MBAR and Gapology, and the 3 subscales are interpersonal relationships, empathy, and social responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. And social responsibility is interesting. I'm just going to give you guys a teaser on like a class that I'm having. It's coming up soon. With social responsibility, imagine you're on a call and the whoever's leading the call is talking about driving the business. And you look around on camera and you see that the light is dim in the virtual room, meaning that people are checking out, right? They're not involved. They're not like, you know, you have, just imagine that you have like high interpersonal relationships and you care about people, but you see that. And social responsibility shows up when you say, hey, boss, I don't know about everyone else, but I'm not getting what you really want out of this. Mm-hmm. That means you're showing up for the team,
right,
without throwing anybody under the bus. And you're not fracturing the energy in the room. So what do you think about what I shared, Brian?
Yeah. Well, that part, so that is you, I would say. So in the meeting that I was referring to earlier, that was kind of your role, or that's kind of what you were doing at that meeting, where you stood up and you were vulnerable and asked some questions and, you know, had some conversation back and forth, which oftentimes that is a super difficult thing for people to do, especially those like me. I'm very introverted when it comes to large groups. I'm definitely not the first one to stand up. So to do that, you are really creating the environment of safety for other people. Yes. I love that, you know, being socially responsible. So looking at the environment that you're in, taking responsibility for the interactive elements there and the overall learning and growth of that area or of that room, that is a huge strength if you have that ability to do that. And I think it ties really to the previous component you called it, self-expression. I think those things do tie together. So I love that. I love that piece. It really is that, you know, showing up for other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and by the way, on a side note for our listeners who are facilitators, that person is usually your thermostat. Mm-hmm. Like if they make the room hot or cold, more than likely everybody else is feeling the same way. So
that's a great way to look at it. Absolutely. Yeah. I facilitate a million classes, workshops and so forth in my life. And there's always at least one, maybe sometimes they're tied together and they're competing, but there's always somebody that creates that temperature in the room for sure.
That's true. That's true. All right. So moving on to the fourth composite is decision-making. And I think about what you guys do at Gapology, and I'm looking at this and there are three subscales, problem solving, reality testing, and impulse control. Mm-hmm. And reality testing, I'm going to just throw out there because it's just something that I don't think people think about. But when it comes to decision making, when you get an email and the email is in all caps, do you immediately go into, is he upset with me? You know, how dare he? Oh, let me call Brian and vent to him because of this email. And then you learn later that he was driving. He didn't realize it was in caps. No big deal. And you're like, oh. Or are you the person that says, you know what? He's probably excited or whatever. Let me just get to the root cause and call him and see what the email was about. So
yeah.
I thought it was kind of
absolutely
bring that up. Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever seen, do you know who Key and Peele are?
Yes. I love them.
Oh, they're
brilliant. Yeah,
we love them.
Brilliant.
There's this one skit that they do. So these are comedians and they do these skits and that if you haven't, you know, watched them, go on YouTube. There's a lot on there, but there's this one where they're texting back and forth.
Okay.
And they're interpreting the text opposite of what the other person's intending as far as their voice and whatever. And I'm not going to spoil it. I just want, you know, go out and watch that. It is hilarious, but it's so true. When you get an email, you have your own internal voice that you're reading the email with. Absolutely. And the other person has a different voice and sometimes they don't match. So it's a great example. Sabrina.
No, I'm going to Google that. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. All right. And then the last composite, stress management, and I'm really, you know, I would really love like your feedback or thoughts about this, but there are three subscales under stress management, and it's flexibility, stress tolerance, and optimism. Mm-hmm. So when we think about performance and how we can take our personal behaviors and, you know, create plans to drive performance, stress management is key. For example, with flexibility, if I say, Brian, I know you've been working on this project for 6 months, but we're going to totally go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. Do you go, no, I'm going to finish what I've been doing? No. Or do you say, yeah, I'm a little disappointed, I'll see if I can take some elements from what I was doing and implement it to the new, you know, to what we're going to do. With stress tolerance, it's coping skills. Like some people break down when they're stressed out and they're just not productive because the emotions like freeze them from actually taking action. Okay. And then the last one, optimism. At the end of the day, because we all have bad days, right? Do you sit in your car outside of your house and self-reflect on the day and say to yourself, wait, let me reset. I've been here before. Tomorrow's going to be a better day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the five composites and the subscales. The last thing I wanted to touch on, which is the last element with EQI 2.0, is happiness. So this is an assessment, guys. I should have said that in the beginning. You take the assessment. I'm usually the debrief coach. So that's, you know, okay. And the last thing that's rated is happiness. Do you feel joy? Do you feel satisfaction in your life? So that's EQI, Brian.
Yeah. Well, that's a great summary. And I think this would be an interesting exercise to do for a team. You know, a couple different scenarios I see this. So if you are a new leader and you want to kind of get a pulse on the team and how they see things, I think that'd be a great opportunity. Or if your team is going through maybe a high stress time, you know, maybe you've gone through some change, that could be a good, I think there's a lot of different opportunities here to use this. And I do think there's massive value in not just administering the assessment, but to have a coach help to walk the team through it. Yes. Anytime you go through these types of assessments, I think that's, it can be stressful for the person because they're reflecting on themselves. Yes. And with something like this, this is really personal. And I can see people really reacting negatively if they're not helped with a coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, by the way, there's a scale with this assessment, and 70 to 90, that's the range. That's a low EQI. 90 to 110 is average. And whoever lands at 110 or higher has a high EQI. And, you know, overall, and I'm just sharing this because, you know, as executives, no matter what level we are in management, we tend to want to like have a high score. And, you know, once you take this assessment, having a high score can hurt you as well. Like, for example, if you score a 130 on independence, it tells me that you may be a leader that doesn't delegate, okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there should be balance in some of the subscales here, but you know, like I actually talk about this in detail, but we'll get to that in a second, but yeah, I just wanted to mention that to you, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's interesting. And because we're assessing ourselves, there's a risk there that you, because your goal, most people's goal is this high score and I want to do well on this.
Yes.
You know, how you answer it might not be truly how you behave, right?
Exactly.
What your behaviors are. So I think it's incredibly important to answer it honestly. Is there an option for kind of a 360 version where your team rates you?
That's a good call. Yes, there is. So it's a similar assessment. The team, there's a team of five or more. They submit the results, and then we do a 360 assessment.
Gotcha. That's where I think it would be super interesting. So rate yourself, and then have your team rate you, and then that comparison, I think is where the learning will happen. So I think oftentimes we're like, well, I'm a great leader. Everyone listens to me. I'm very open to feedback. I create safe space and those kinds of things. And in reality, maybe we don't. So I think there is a really big opportunity there to kind of go through both segments, perhaps doing the self-assessment first and then following it up with the 360. I think that would be interesting. And you lead teams through both of those things, right?
I do. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm connecting to what you said, Brian. Exactly how I did this with you, what I do with teams is I explain it high level.
Yep.
Then they take the assessment, right? And then we schedule debriefs. There's a team assessment that comes up. Mm-hmm. So as a group, we talk about the team assessment. And then each individual, they have an option to share their results. Mm. They don't have to. They have the option.
Right.
So, yes. Yeah. It's a really good tool.
I think there you would actually learn a lot as well. So taking it that one step further and having people, you know, get real and, mm-hmm. you know, be open and that kind of thing. I think you can really learn because I think what it does specifically for a leader or anybody that really wants to build relationships, once you start to see how other people would rate themselves and how they would fall, it helps you then to position your connection with them, your communication with them in a way to best grow the relationship and deliver things in the right way and so forth. I think there's a lot to learn about each other.
Absolutely. Yes. And then, you know, something that occurred to me when you said that is, Brian, EQI is how you show up when you're having a bad day.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can all handle things when we're having a good day.
Yeah. No question.
You know? So, you know, for the listeners out there, just think about, and that's like the questions on the assessment are designed to ask you how you show up when you're stressed out. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes this tool very fascinating.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And in looking at the model, there's a couple of pieces that really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. That stress tolerance thing that you were just talking about. Mm-hmm. That's not something I'm good at. So I have, I'm pretty easygoing. I'm pretty, good with stress in general, but I have a bandwidth. Once I get to the end of that bandwidth, I tend to just react at that point. I'll give you an example. So years and years ago, I was a store manager for a retail store. Mm-hmm. And, my team thought, hey, he's easygoing, whatever. And this is before Gapology, honestly, and before I knew any of that kind of stuff. And this one person on my team just kept kind of pushing my buttons regarding his schedule. He'd always come in wanting to change his schedule here and there and always wanting to change. Couldn't work this day, wanted to work this day and all this kind of stuff. And finally, one week, I got to that end of that bandwidth. And he said, I need to change my schedule. And I said, oh, okay. Yeah. I'll help you change your schedule. And I said, come on with me. And we walked over to the schedule. It's printed out. And I just crossed his name out all the way across. I said, there, now you have all the free time you need. It's like, who does that? It's like, talk about it, an emotional reaction to something. And afterward, of course, I felt horrible, but at the time, you get to that end of that, whatever that bandwidth was, and you just snap.
But so if I was your coach,
coach me on that. Yeah.
I would say that when you're under pressure, your impulse control mm-hmm. goes up.
Yep.
So that was like an impulsive.
Totally. I'll take care of it for you.
And it sounds like your empathy was low in that moment.
Right. Well. Oh, there was no empathy in that moment. Yeah. Yeah. And
you were assertive, like it was all coming up. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I usually have extremely high empathy.
Yes,
you do. That's my number one strength when you look at strength finders.
Yes, I love that too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my number one strength. And
okay.
And that's why every time I watch like The Voice or anything on TV, I'm always crying because my empathy is there. Yes. But you know, when you get to that stress, the tolerance threshold, yes. You do end up tend to stop that intelligent process and you start yes. just reacting.
Yes.
And even something that could be your strength could go out the window.
Absolutely. Well, you taught him a valuable lesson. I'm sure he.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I like I said, this was 100 years ago, so I don't unfortunately remember his name, but it would be interesting to go back and talk to this gentleman and find out what impact that had on his life. So, I really like this model. The interpersonal piece, I think, is important. Mm-hmm. And that actually, that's where you have empathy as one of your subsets, you called it, I think.
Subscales. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. And so I think that's interesting. And, you know, back when we did our first podcast, you talked a little bit about one of the things that you did growing up where you would mirror other people yes. to connect with them. Yes. And I thought that was interesting. And when you're talking about interpersonal, I thought, God, you know, that's a great example of that section.
Absolutely. And, you know, after that podcast, I had a few people listen to it, and I had some folks throughout the country just tell me their thoughts about the interpersonal piece. And here's what I've learned. And I don't have like a lot of data about this, but no matter what race or culture that people that grow up in a like crime ridden or they end up with a very high level of interpersonal skills. They can read the room really well because it's survival. Right. They can read people really well. So I'm going to have to do some research on that, but I just, you know, it's just, it's interesting that growing up as a kid, if you're walking through like a challenging environment, you do learn to mirror people so that you can survive.
Yep. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I think it is just kind of a natural human trait that you want to be accepted and you want to be yes. felt like you're one of the group.
Yes.
And there's danger with that. Certainly, you know, if you're in a tough situation and there's people acting like they shouldn't be acting right. that you could certainly fall into that. And I think there's a lot of, victims out there who, you know, have been unfortunate recipients of that piece of our psyche, I think,
yes.
You know, where they make a bad decision that they wouldn't ordinarily make because they're in an yeah. environment like that. But the flip side to that, I think is that if you're in an environment that's producing good things, that's yes. helping people, that's, yes. you know, being a positive person in our community, I think there's a lot of great things that can happen there as well.
Exactly. And, you know, to that point, my daughter and I, you know, once a quarter, we volunteer and give back to, some school systems, whether it's Philadelphia, Baltimore, D.C., and it's the energy, I'm not talking about myself, like when my daughter's talking to them and she leaves the room, you could see that they're like, whoa, like this is someone who lived in an environment that's similar than, you know, that I live, you know, that yep. connected to me, that related to me, that was empathetic to me. And, you know, that just, it helps these kids really think about their future path, right? Or what they're going to do next. So thanks for bringing that up as well. You're right about that.
Yeah, no, that's super cool. With the self-expression piece, looking at the emotional expression, I think that is something that, you know, as just human beings, we have two ways of expression, I think. We have our intellectual and we have our emotional.
Yes.
And in a lot of classes I teach, I talk about this emotional roller coaster, I call it.
Okay.
Where when you're at the peak or the valley, the either side, so you're in either an emotional high or an emotional low.
Yes.
You never want to make life-changing decisions at that point.
Oh, yes.
And it's hard to, you don't even want to react to things when you're at those levels. You want to be able to just have that emotional intelligence to step back, walk away, take a breather, decompress a bit, and then make your decision. I think so many decisions over the years have been made, in that situation where, you really shouldn't have, you really should have stopped and thought about it.
Yes. Well, here's what you just told me. And I love that. That's like why we don't go, when we're hungry, we don't go to the supermarket.
True.
So, again, that impulse control is coming up. So if you're really high or really low, then you may be back to that self-expression piece you just brought up. You may be more assertive, or you may close up, right?
Yep.
Not say anything at all. You may run to your cubicle because I'm really like high right now. I got a lot to do. I'm just going to run in and do it. And more importantly, your emotional expressions. It's interesting when you watch people at their highs and lows, how their hands move, if their knees are shaking under the table, if their eyes are wide open. It's really interesting just watching body language based on how people feel. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that people realize that how they show up in self-expression impacts results. So, Brian, if you're my boss and your eyes get wide open every time I try to give an answer, I'm going to think, is he interested or does he think I'm stupid? Okay. I'm not going to say anything else on the next call.
Yeah.
Cause so people don't know how, who they are and how they show up impact their goals indirectly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Your behavior will impact how others see you. And when we're talking about your leader, they see you behaving a certain way in different situations that will impact how they see you for future things down the road. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. So the first one you mentioned, self-perception, I want to spend a second here because self-perception is an important piece of what we teach at Gapology. So we have MBAR, which is an acronym for those of you who haven't heard this before. So it's identity, how you see yourself essentially is identity. Mm-hmm. And that drives your mindset, which is the M in MBAR. Mm. Your mindset is how you think and feel, which is really the self-perception is the combination of those two things, your identity and how you think and feel. So it really connects with both those things. And in MBAR, your mindset then drives your behaviors, the things that you do. Your behaviors drive the actions of those around you. That's the A. And the actions of your team helps to produce the results that you're getting. And in MBAR, you can kind of work backwards through that and look at your results and say, hey, if I'm not getting what I need to work backwards and look at the actions of my team, look at my behaviors, look at how I'm thinking and feeling, and then looking at your identity, and you kind of work backwards. And you can build an MBAR for any specific situation or just your performance in general or whatever in your life. And in looking at self-perception here, I think it really does speak to that element. I think there's a lot of important things in that section.
Yeah, it's interesting. And thanks for sharing that. By the way, I have your book.
Okay.
And, and you know, this is a brilliant model. And when I think about that, so you know, your eye, right? And MBAR, like, so your self-regard, just think about how you show up when you're stressed out. Mm-hmm. If you end up being overly confident, like braggadocious, or if you like totally start beating yourself up, that's really important because when you're under stress, how you show up for yourself really catapults everything else, you know? And then self-actualization is like, when you're under stress, do you want to grow? Do you seek tools? Do you want to, like, you know, MBAR? You know, do you want to be a better version of yourself? And then the emotional self-awareness is, I want to share, I'm just going to share this because this is from the class I'm giving, but, and it ties into MBAR a little bit, and I'll, you know, give you your show back because I'm talking too much here, but I'm loving this.
Oh, never, never.
So emotional self-awareness, you know, think about when you're upset or intense, do you just say, I'm angry? Or can you say, I'm frustrated, I'm anxious? Can you actually describe the word for what you're feeling? So, you know, I just wanted to, like, share that. And, you know, how do you think those three subscales impact your results at the end of the day?
Yeah. No, that's a great tip. You know, when I'm teaching that emotional roller coaster thing, I'm usually teaching it that, when, especially like in a sales environment, if you're working with a customer and they're upset with something and they're at the peak or the valley of that, usually the valley, in that situation, you know, what do you do as a salesperson? Because you want them to stop feeling and start thinking. So the thing that we always recommend is to ask a question. So asking a question forces somebody to stop feeling and start thinking. And you might have to ask a couple of questions to get them just out of that valley, right? So asking yourself that, like you said, you know, if you're angry, asking yourself the question, okay, so what about this am I angry about? You know, and digging deeper into that does stop the emotional feeling element and start with the intellectual thinking.
Wow. So it's so, man, I know why I love being around you, Brian. Oh my goodness. So something that I tell my clients is that the person that asks the questions is the person in power. So think about a three-year-old. Why? What is this? It drives you crazy because they're in control, because you have to change your mindset, focus on what they asked you, and teach them or give them. So that's the same kind of power that we give ourselves when we ask ourselves questions, because it makes us think and focus. So that's great.
Cool. And in Gapology, we talk about when we look at performance. So it's important to look at, there's a couple elements that drive performance. There's talent and there's mindset. So talent is your skill and ability and experience and knowledge and all those things that go into, to, you know, your capability to do something, to perform. But in addition to that is your mindset, which is everything we're talking about here. So how you are thinking and feeling, your self-perception and self-expression, interpersonal decision-making, stress management, all those components there go into that mindset. And so if you can, as a leader, first of all, if you're not getting the performance that you're looking for from your team, have you done all the talent things? Have you trained and developed and, you know, created a teaching culture, mentorship, all those elements to create that talent level? And then in addition, looking at the mindset of your team. So have you done all these pieces that Cabrina just walked through? And if not, you need to take a step back and say, okay, so how can I impact their mindset? What are some things I can do? And recognizing the behaviors in your team that are missing, that you can try to help fill some of those gaps as well.
Absolutely. That's great.
Cool. So I think that's probably a good place to leave it, Cabrina. You know, I would like to just kind of invite you to share how people can get a hold of you, because I know everyone out there now wants to call Cabrina and hire her to do a workshop for them. So how can people get hold of you?
Yes. So Of course, everyone knows LinkedIn. Slash Cabrina McLean. You can find me there and send me a note. My website is CoachCabrinaMcLean.com. And you can send me a quick email at Cabrina, with a C, at CoachCabrina.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I absolutely 100% recommend Coach Cabrina. You know, like I said, she is, first of all, an amazing person, but super talented. She would absolutely bring huge, huge value to your organization. So,
well, thanks for having me, Brian. And I enjoyed this. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for being on again. And we'll do this again. You know, I know you have a million different topics we could always cover on here. So I'd love to have you back.
I'd love to be back. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. All right. Thanks much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, and as usual, for more information on Gapology, MBAR, or Speed of Purpose, head on over to our website, gapology.org. Everyone have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a Gapology Institute production. Visit us at gapology.org.